Hermione Badger, just trying on the initiation class. June 15th.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad. A stotra such Sri Shriman Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Sri Shriman Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. I asked Sajjan Maharaj last night, can I switch classes with you? Because I have to leave at 12 and my class is supposed to be at 10:30. So he said, I'll do it under one condition. If you tell everybody or explain to everybody how Gurudev didn't leave, but he's still here. So I said, okay, it's a deal. But now I'm a little bit confused, or in Srila Gurudev's words, dumbfounded as to what to say, just as Uddhav was dumbfounded as to what to say to Nanda Baba. As Srila Gurudev explained a few nights ago, Krishna sent Uddhav to Vrindavan externally to console his parents and coward boyfriends and gopis, but his deepest ambition was to teach Uddhav, was to have him enter the school of Prem, where he learned himself what is the meaning of Prem. So when he was in Nanda Baba's palace, and Nanda Baba was weeping, he couldn't speak when he tried to say, how's Krishna? Uddhav couldn't figure out whether to say, it's good that you're crying, because the Shastras say the perfection of life is to cry in separation for God, or don't cry because you're so lucky that you had God as your son. So Nanda Baba told him, I used to think that you were intelligent because you're Krishna's prime minister and his friend and you spend so much time with him. But now I see your baby teeth haven't even, fallen out. And your baby fat hasn't left either. Because you tell me, on one hand, that my son is God, and at the same time that he left me. So that's just like a person who has a Chintamani stone. Chintamani stone can fulfill all desires. It could give billions and billions of tons of gold and whatever anyone desires. Gold is minus compared to what Chintamani can give. So it's like somebody who has a Chintamani stone and just thinks it's a pretty rock and keeps it in his house, but doesn't take very good care of it. And so somebody who does recognize what it is, they steal it. And then the owner starts looking around for his pretty rock, and somebody says, what are you looking for? Oh, my pretty rock. Well, that wasn't a pretty rock. That was a Chintamani stone. A Chintamani stone, and it's gone, and I had it. And then the person becomes a mad person. So you're telling me that I'm so fortunate, but actually I'm the most unlucky person. And actually I try to forget Krishna. I go to different places to try to forget him. I leave my home because he spent so much time in my home and there's so much remembrance. So I go to the Jamuna, and the Jamuna is weeping. I go to Govardhan, all the shrubs and the trees are weeping there, and every atom of Govardhan is calling out to Krishna, because every place there Krishna had his pastimes. So I have no reprieve, I have no retrieve, I have no help. My separation gets worse and worse. And you say that he's God, as Gurudev said last night, in normal circumstance, there's no even thought of it. But in some circumstance, the information, call it the information, not the understanding or realization, but the information comes their way that Krishna is God in joke and in times of separation. So you say that Krishna is God. I don't believe it, but if he is God, then I pray to him for salvation or liberation from my misery. So now Gurudev, who we know is a manifestation of Krishna, the Shiksha Guru is a manifestation of Krishna's personality or intrinsic nature, his Swarup, his very being. And the Diksha Guru is a manifestation of the form of Krishna. There's no difference between Diksha and Shiksha Guru, because there's no difference between Krishna's form and Krishna's being, Krishna's soul, as there is in the case of us conditioned souls. On Gurudev's appearance day in Moolambar, Australia, several years ago, he had one of the devotees singing this song. And the song, he called on the devotee to sing the song because we were singing guru songs. Guru songs. And he called on one of the sannyasis, at that time sannyasi, to sing the song Atmani Vedana Tua Pade Kori Hoinu Paramasuki, which is to Krishna. But Gurudev said this exactly applies to Guru as well, because he is Ashraya Krishna. Krishna comes in two forms. Vishaya Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Served Godhead, and Ashraya Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. So, O my Lord, since I have surrendered my soul permanently at your lotus feet, I have become supremely joyful. All my suffering and sorrows have gone far away. No more anxieties remain in my mind. I see only bliss everywhere in all directions. Your lotus feet are reservoirs of immortal nectar, where one may live free from lamentation and fear. I have found peace there now, just as Gurudev said about our Srila Prabhupada. His name is significantly Abhayacharana, because he takes shelter of Krishna's fearless lotus feet, the place where there's no fear, and at his lotus feet also the place there's no fear, and at Gurudev's lotus feet also there's no fear. I have found peace there now, and I have given up all fear of worldly existence. I am the servant in your house, working diligently without attachment to enjoying the fruits of my labor. Everything I do is only for your pleasure, and thus I am always enchanted by remembering your lotus feet. Whatever problems come to me in the course of rendering my service unto you, I accept as the highest pleasure. For, in the course of your service, happiness and distress are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. Since I have become absorbed in happily serving you, I have completely forgotten all my past history. All I know is that I am yours and you are mine. What else is of any value? Bhaktivinoda, thinking in an ocean of nectar, says, all my endeavors are completely now mixed with your desires and directed to you, now that I'm a resident in your house. So this song is talking about happiness. And now everybody is experiencing intense sadness. So what's the relationship? What should I tell you? Cry or don't cry? Gurudev is not here or Gurudev is here? So, I was just looking, in my dumbfoundedness, I was just looking at a lecture that Srila Gurudev gave in 1991. It was one of his Vilapakus Manjali classes, where Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is in the fire of separation from Srimati Radhika. And he says that I'm in a great conflagration, meaning like big, big forest fire. I'm right in the middle of a forest fire of separation from you. And if you don't put your nectar glands upon me, in the next moment, I'm going to burn in that fire. This is the type of separation that is had by those who want to enter into pure bhakti or enter the path of Rag Vartma Chandrika and get the moonlight of the beams of moonlight lighting up, illuminating the path to Rag, because that's where Gurudev is. Why was he saying, where is Janava? Sing a song of separation when Krishna went to Mathura. Why did he give the separation talk? His whole theme was separation. And the songs were separation of Krishna. Because in this lecture of Vilapakus Manjali, where Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is showing how one enters into the purpose of his creation, the purpose of his existence. Why do I exist? Just imagine if you can all take one moment to close your eyes and imagine not existing. Can you? No. So the purpose of our existing is for this, to enter into Ragatmika Bhakti and become Srila Gurudev's and Srila Prabhupada's follower, because the Anagachya is eternal. It's not just here. And that's why Guru Nista is the backbone of bhakti, because the same thing happens there. So in this discussion of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami saying, I'm going to burn the very next second in the fire of separation if you don't put your glance over me. And then, by his intense separation, he forgets that he's Raghunath Das Goswami, and he enters into his identity of pure happiness as Rati Manjari, and is absorbed in the pastimes with Srimati Radhika and Krishna and all the associates. So Srila Gurudev explains there that if one wants to feel that kind of separation from Srimati Radhika, one must first have that kind of separation for Gurudev. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami had that for his Shiksha Gurus. That is, who is his Shiksha Guru? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri, when he left his world, the vision of the world, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter first of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who soon also left the world. And he took shelter of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, who also left the world. And he was weeping and rolling like a madman. And then he could no longer stay in Jagannath Puri, because every particle of dust reminded him, because he witnessed the pastime, every particle of dust reminded him of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, which he couldn't bear. When the pastime is going on, then there's so much happiness. But remembering that pastime, in separation, it becomes the source of grief. That's why in Gopi Geet, Srimati Radhika and the gopis are saying that your words are so sweet. When you tell us yourself, the words about yourself, then we experience unlimited joy. But in your absence, when someone tells about you, it gives us so much grief. So the only recourse, the only relief, is if you come back to us, because we're going to die at the very next moment. And the only reason that we're remaining alive is because we've put our lives in you. And you're very happily enjoying yourself without us, loving the fact that we're suffering for you. So because our lives are situated in you, then, and you're having a very, very long life, so that's what keeps us alive. Otherwise, we wouldn't be alive. Srila Gurudev was once on a morning walk in Italy, and he told us about this in his evening class that night. He was on a morning walk with Vrajanath Prabhu and Leela Purushottama, and he was walking on the beach, and as he was chanting, he was remembering one verse from the 11th canto, I think, Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vrata swa priya nama kritya jatanuraga chuta kritya uchaya hasya tati raudati rautikaya tyun madhavan rityati loka bahya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his Gurudev and said, what is this mantra that you gave me? I was chanting the mantra, and all of a sudden, the mantra that is my Gopal mantra, my Harinam mantra, turned into a boy of beautiful cloud-like complexion. And I started going out to embrace him, but to avoid me, he started playing his flute and walking backwards in a zigzag way so that I couldn't catch him. Then he thought, I'll run fast and embrace him. But as soon as I started, he disappeared. And I found myself rolling on the ground and weeping, oh Krishna, where are you? Where are you? What is this mantra that you gave me? So his Gurudev, Ishwarapuri, was so happy. And he quoted this verse that I just sang, that Gurudev was singing on the beach, which is really the mood of the gopis, or for any pure devotee, that one who has is situated on the highest love of Krishna, he's always loudly chanting the holy name of his beloved, sometimes laughing, sometimes weeping in separation, calling out like a madman without considering who's around. He doesn't care for public opinion or who's listening. So Gurudev was thinking this in his mind while he was chanting his japa, and then he saw this big Alsatian dog, and the dog was going up to the water, to the ocean, and then walking back, and then walking up to a car and walking back. And Gurudev said to his companions, do you know what he's doing? This dog had an owner when he was a little puppy, and the owner used to feed him, and the owner used to bathe him with his own hands, And gradually the dog got older and older, to the point where it was no fun anymore. So the owner's thinking, how can I get rid of this dog? So one day, he took the dog to the beach, and as dogs would do, he ran after a lady dog. And so the owner thought, perfect time, got in his car, drove off. And so this dog has been waiting for years. Now the dog is very old. Alsatian dogs are very beautiful. So you could tell that this dog used to be beautiful, but now he's all shabby, his eyes are filled with mud between the dirt and his tears. And he's going up to different cars thinking, is that my master? Did my master come back? Surely he'll come back. He loved me so much. And then, no, that's not my master. And then walking up to the ocean to end it all and thinking, but if I end it all and my master does come back because he did love me, then he'll be so sad. So then he walks back from the ocean. So Gurudev said, this cruel master will never come back. But for the gopis, they're thinking the same way. The only reason that we're alive now, since Krishna left, is because he promised three times, Mea unga, mea unga, mea vasya unga. I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm definitely coming back. When? Day after tomorrow. Parson aunga. So Krishna promised. So if he comes back, and then he sees that we're dead, surely he'll die. So as Gurudev said, oh Uddhav, don't tell Krishna how we're feeling. Give him little by little by little. Or tell him that we're doing just fine. Because otherwise he'll be so sad. And they're willing to be sad so that Krishna can be happy. Willing to not have him know. So the same feelings. And then, on the last day, Srila Gurudev is quoting the beautiful prayers of Uddhav after he, of course, he never even got admitted. Krishna sent him to the school of Braj. Sounds familiar. This is the original school of Braj. Where Radharani is the principal and Lalita and Vishaka are the headmasters. He sent him to learn the meaning of the two-letter word Prema. Where I learned, he said, where I learned the meaning of praying. So Uddhav went to the school, but Srila Gurudev said he didn't pass the entrance examination because he was thinking in that bewildered state, should I tell him to cry or not to cry? This is so much suffering that they're undergoing. So he was trying to understand, but he couldn't understand. And finally he had to go back to Mathura, where expressing how Braj was full of so much separation, it didn't pacify Krishna at all, but Krishna became more in separation. And similarly, when Uddhav gave Krishna's message that Krishna's exact message, Krishna told Uddhava, don't change one single word. Exactly as I'm telling you, you tell them. It still won't pacify them, because the only thing that will pacify them is if I go there. But still, try. So Uddhava told Krishna's message, don't worry, I'm always with you. Like Tajan Maharaj said, you told them, he never left. Don't worry, I'm always with you. Just as there's no difference between an earthen pot and the earth. The earthen pot is made of earth. So you are made of my love. I'm always there. Just close your eyes and meditate and you'll see that I'm always with you. So this made the gopis angry that we're PhD deletes. And he's giving us ABC knowledge that I'm everywhere. The same thing happened when the gopis went to Kurukshetra. Krishna told them, you heard that I'm God, right? Well, it's true. So just don't feel separation from me. Just meditate on me and you'll see that I'm everywhere. So the gopis sang one verse, Ahus Chate Nalini Padara, what is it?
Nalini Nava Padara Vinda.
Two, yes, you are certainly Padmanabha. You are certainly great. And yogis like Krishna, sorry, like Brahma and Shiva, great yogis, they meditate upon you. And from your navel comes Lord Brahma. So you are so great and powerful. But who are we? We're just household ladies, and we have no capacity to meditate. So what is the meaning of this verse? Because there are always so much depth of meaning that Srila Gurudev is giving us. That is, you say that you're God. Does God steal the garments of another man's wife? Is God God is supposed to be the supreme peace? Does he throw temper tantrums when his mother doesn't give him what he wants? At the very moment he wants it? We know what kind of God you are. You can never forget us. Actually, you're telling us to remember you, to meditate on you. We're trying to forget you. That's the problem. And the problem is we can't. Other people, they should meditate on you because they don't have any intelligence. Brahma doesn't have any intelligence. He was born from a lotus flower, so his intelligence is dull. No life. So he's so dull-headed that he can meditate upon you. But we have much more intelligence, and we know who you are. Just like the gopis said when Krishna left for Mathura, we know who you are. We heard that you were Ram in your last life and how you gave so much suffering, even at that time. How you killed a monkey. Who killed the monkey? But you killed a monkey and you cut off the head, the nose and ears of somebody, Surbanaka, just because she was madly in love with you. We know you already. Lakshmi. She can love you, no problem. Why? Because she doesn't know you. We've known you from childhood. Lakshmi rides on a what? Her carrier is a what?
Owl.
An owl. An owl sees at night, his eyes are open at night, and he can't see anything in the daytime. So we're much more intelligent. So talking and talking, trying to forget, they become more and more immersed. But that separation is so interesting that in meeting, so much internal is forgotten because you become engrossed in the activity. But in separation, all the remembrances of all the meanings come into the heart and everything external is forgotten. So separation is necessary because it nourishes, it nourishes meeting. And therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that separation and meeting go on forever, increasing, nourishing each other forever. So now we are in Sadhan Bhumi, the world of Sadhan Bhakti. No one can come to the point, Srila Gurudev is saying in this Vilapa Kusmanjali class, no one can come to the point of feeling that intense separation from Srimati Radhika, which is the goal of bhajan, without feeling that intense, unbearable separation from Sri Guru. All relationships are based on a relationship with Sri Guru. What kind of relationship and what kind of service? One who is thinking, oh, Gurudev is so high and I am so fallen and insignificant. That's one kind of relationship, and that is called Vaidhi Bhakti. relationship. God is so great. I am his insignificant servant. It is my duty to serve him, and if I don't serve him, I'll go to hell. Shastra has said this. So similarly with Guru. Then there's another kind of seva called Visramba Seva, or intimate service. Visrambena Guru Seva. This is one of the first, isn't it, one of the ten, Maharaj, Bhagavat Maharaj, one of the ten, first ten items, first five items. Visrambena, of the 64 items of bhakti. Visrambena Guru Seva. That one serves Guru with intimacy. Just like a child doesn't think that, oh, my father is so great, and who am I? Rather, he or she jumps on his father's lap and caresses him on his cheeks and touches him on his shoulders and embraces him. So this is intimate. And when one engages in intimate service to Guru, making Gurudev my heart, Guru Mukha Padma Vaikya Chite Te Koreya Aikya. When will my words, this is the translation we learned, when will my words, what is it? When will my, that's the new one we got. What's the old one? No, you have the new one, and that's the one I'm going to expand on. But the one that we learned in ISKCON?
One with, yeah, it is. One with the words become one with my heart.
No, the one that we learned in ISKCON?
Although the feet of our spiritual lords are the only way to attain
to my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Right. So then, the next sentence comes in our new translation. So when my only desire is that my consciousness will be purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Meaning, Shyamala, when will my words and his heart become one? When will his words become one with my heart? And when will my words and my heart become one with his heart? This is Visrambena Guru Seva, service done in that way. And then this was a discussion, this class of Vilap Kusmanjali, was actually a discussion with the ISKCON GBCs, that was back in the early 1990s. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but that is so rare. What's rare? That Guru also doesn't think this is my disciple. But when that intimate service is there, then the Guru doesn't think he's my disciple, but the Guru thinks he is my heart. This person is my heart. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but that's so rare. So Gurudev said, yes, it's rare, but that's what we want. And without that, we can never feel, we can never weep truly in our bhajan, in our bhajans, to feel that kind of separation that comes to that kind of meeting. And then Gurudev said, just like our Gurudev, he was speaking to the ISKCON GBC, so he said, so now your Gurudev is in uppercut lila. Can you weep for him? He's in uppercut lila, and you are going on very pleasantly with your life. Maybe at the time of his appearance day or disappearance day festival, also there's so much preparation, management, getting all the people seated, making sure all the prasadam is ready. He said those festivals we have for the public who doesn't have so much of a relationship with him. But we also have to do something for ourselves to make that relationship that he is my heart and him thinking he is my heart. Then, in the appearance or disappearance day festival, you may speak about him and then a tear may come. Or, it may not come. So this is the goal of life. Buddha is saying, should I tell him it's the goal of life to cry or don't cry? So similarly, I'm in that same predicament. And what did Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, what was his mood when his Gurudev left? That is, his main Gurudev is Srila Rupa Goswami, because he taught him everything to the last point of how to do bhajan. So, sunyayate mahagostam karindro jagarayate vyagra tundayate kundam jivatar lahitasya me. Now that I no longer have the sustainer, I no longer have the association of the sustainer of my life, my Gurudev, Srila Rupa Goswami. Braj has now become empty and desolate. Govardhan has become just like a python to devour me. And Radhakund has become just like a tigress. I have no shelter anywhere. Where is my Gurudev? So this is the mood that our acharyas are teaching. Just like when Srinivas Acharya, he was brought up from babyhood by his father about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because his father met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he always used to fill him with the nectar of Mahaprabhu's pastimes firsthand. So then when he became a young man, he was ready to leave everything and run to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet in Puri, which he did. And on the way, somebody was coming back from Puri, very downtrodden, and asked, so I'm going to Puri, how's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I'm going to meet him. Oh, he just disappeared from this world. So what did Srinivas Acharya do? He started beating his chest, pulling out his hair, ripping apart his chest in great lamentation and anxiety. And then he went to Puri and took shelter of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who sent him elsewhere to Navadvip. And then he thought, I think he cheated me. Then he went back to Puri for Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and who had also just left. And this went on and on. Then Rupa and Sanatan, he went to Vrindavan. They just left. He was just about to jump in the fire, literally, to completely kill himself. Weeping, rolling on the ground, beating himself, trying to rip open his chest and body, mad, not knowing what to do with himself or his life. And then they and Mahaprabhu spoke to him at different times in dreams that you can have our initiation, it's okay, but do it through, go to Vrindavan and meet with Jiva Goswami. Somehow they told him, you'll get your initiation in Gopal Bhatta. Oh, he ultimately got initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But did they tell him to go to Gopal Bhatta Goswami? I don't remember. So then they spoke in a dream to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is Mahaprabhu, Rupa Sanatan, spoke to Jiva Goswami in a dream that somebody is coming. A very beautiful youth is coming to Vrindavan, and he's going to be totally mad in separation. And you'll find him sitting in the corner after Arti of, I think it's the Damodar Temple, Sri Radha Damodar Temple, Govinda Temple, and you'll see him sitting in a corner weeping. Go to him and take care of him. So Jiva Goswami went there and found him, and they both began weeping and embracing. And because the Lord had told them to take shelter of Sri Gopalbhatta Goswami for initiation. So Jiva Goswami brought him to Gopalbhatta Goswami, who himself was out of external consciousness at that moment, just totally weeping for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's separation. And then Sri Jiva Goswami put him at the feet of Gopalbhatta Goswami, who embraced him, they all wept, gave him initiation, and then also gave him for study to Srila Jiva Goswami. So this is our line. Our line is a weeping line. So Gurudev said, who will feel that separation? One who has done keen service. Just like Ishwara Puri has done keen service to Madhavendra Puripad. Even at the last, in his last moments, Sri Madhavendra Puripad was in the mood of Srimati Radhika. Only three persons understood that verse of Srimati Radhika. There was no fourth person. Radhika, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Madhavendra Puri. How Radhika is feeling separation from Krishna when he went to Mathura. So one of his disciples, Ramchandra Puri, he told him, don't weep, just meditate on the formless, impersonal Brahman, and you'll be free from all lamentation. You remember, just meditate on spirit is beyond matter, and you'll be free. So he said, get out of my sight. If I see you at the time of death, I don't know what my destination will be. And later on, he became a great offender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Look at all those ants there. That showed that Mahaprabhu eats too much sweets. And he was rejected by the whole Vaishnava community. Whereas on the other hand, Ishwara Puripad, he was cleaning up his stool and urine and telling him all kinds of very beautiful pastimes of Krishna just to enhance his mood. Not that the guru needs enhancement, but just as a service. And then he got the benediction of being the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everything depends on that rare relationship, and that's what we're after. That's our goal. Who can weep? Nanda Baba weeps, as we see in Gurudev's Harikatha. Yasoda weeps more than them because she has more love than Nanda Maharaj. And the gopis weep more. Just like after Krishna left, they stood there watching the chariot as Krishna was leaving. And they were just like painted pictures. They stayed there until all the dust from the chariot had settled. And then they still didn't go home. They lied there at Uddhav Kheri for months, sometimes in consciousness, talking about Krishna's pastimes, remembering, and then making them faint. And then coming back to consciousness, talking a little bit, and then fainting again. And they wouldn't change their clothes. They wore the same clothes because that was the clothes that they wept in, and the tears mixed with the dust of that chariot that drove Krishna off. So that kept the last remnants of Krishna's presence there. So they just kept with the same clothes. So this is our goal, making him our heart. Like Gurudev, he's weeping incessantly, but we can't see it. We want to be able to become one with his heart so that we can serve him in that realm. And Nanda Gopal Prabhu announced last night that this class was going to be about Harinam and Diksha. So this, in essence, is the goal of Harinam and Diksha, but I want to talk something specifically as well. I'm not going to be too specific about Diksha mantras because there are a lot of people here who haven't taken second initiation yet. But you got your mantras a couple of days ago. So I'm not going to say anything too specific, but I hope you can get it, and I'm going to try to explain the meanings. But also, who received Diksha the other day? Hands? I'd like to know if you got the offering mantras for offering boga. Okay, so here they are. So can somebody walk around to the devotees, thanks to actually Vrajendranandam Prabhu who got them zero, to the devotees who didn't get it, and also to devotees who got second initiation at any time and never got it, or who got it but lost it and never followed it, or whatever the case may be, and once tried again. So, Srila Gurudev was saying in his Harikatha the other night, the same thing that he says in his Harinam initiation. Oh no, actually, I was at initiation yesterday morning, right after the walk, or 2 days, a couple of people who didn't get it 3 days ago, they came late, so they got it the other day. And then Gurudev was saying the same thing he says always, which is that this name, you have no idea of what I'm giving you when I'm giving you this name. Just as Krishna can create millions of universes within 1 second, and then destroy millions of universes in the next second. So Krishna's name can do the same thing. As in the song we sing, Hari Nama Tua Aneka Sarupa. O holy name, you killed Putana. You danced with the gopis in Rasalila. So I want my attachment to you, I pray that my attachment to you increases daily by chanting the holy name. So, Gurudev said, what I'm giving you is the seed of that, where, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his Gurudev and said, what is this mantra that you've given me that it turned into that boy playing the flute? Or what is this mantra that you've given me and it turned into that verse? Evam Vratasva Priyanama Krishya. Sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, rolling on the ground, dancing in ecstasy without caring for who's there. That's our goal of all of our activities. So, one very important thing that Srila Gurudev says at the time of initiation, when explaining the beads, this is only for those who've taken second initiation. If anybody who hasn't taken it tries to use it, you won't get any effect.
If anybody needs more, I'll print some more.
Okay. Where are we? All right, so during the initiation, Gurudev says, why is this finger outside the bead bag? Because this is the anger finger. Don't you know who I am? And you didn't listen to what I said? I'm going to break your leg. That's what they said. So anger, he said, must be out of the round, out of the chanting. Otherwise, anger is one of the three paths leading to hell and destruction. I'm going to read a couple of verses from in regard to these initiation statements of Gurudev by Prahlad Maharaj. Gurudev is the external manifestation of Super Soul, and Vrajendra Nandan Shyam Sundar is the original Super Soul. Okay? So, persons who always think in terms of enemy and friend are unable to ascertain the Super Soul within themselves. Very, very powerful statement. One who thinks in terms of enemy and friend cannot ascertain the Super Soul within his own heart or within the heart of anybody else. And then he says that there's no difference between one person and another, because we're all part and parcel of the same person. So therefore, Kapiladev tells his mother, one who worships the deity of Godhead in the temple, but does not know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in every living being's heart, must be in ignorance, and is compared to one who's offering oblations into the ashes. One who's offering me respect, but is envious of the bodies of others, and is therefore a separatist, never attains peace of mind, because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities. And here's the heavy one. If you thought you didn't think that was it. The other ones were heavy. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least amount of discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook.
Can you say that again?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook.
Can
you explain that, elaborate on that? In the Sri Isa Upanishad, it's stated that one who sees all living entities as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord never hates anyone or any being. And for him, there is no illusion or anxiety. The verse after Krishna tells Arjuna to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and inquire of him submissively, render service unto him, and he will impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Then in the next verse, Krishna says that one who has seen the truth will never again fall into illusion. He will know that all living entities are in me and they are mine. Okay, now we'll jump to something practical for that. What do you mean? What do you mean? That's philosophy. So, we sent out something on the Harikatha mailing list called Gurudev on Good Communication. Several years ago, Srila Gurudev in this very, very spot was giving a course on bhakti tattva vivek, that is the consideration of what is the real meaning of bhakti. So on the first day of the course, at the very beginning, he said, before I do this course, I have to tell you something. And without understanding this, you'll never understand this course. And what is that? Trinadapi sunichena, tarodapi sihichnuna,
Samadhi Manadena Kirtaniya Dharani.
So this is not simply for reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is for real. That if you're in a conversation with anyone, don't try to impress your view on the other person. Rather, see what the suffering and happiness is of the other person. What's going to make them happy and what's making them suffer? Hold back your own mood. Don't say, what I say is right, and it doesn't matter what the other person says. That if you try to impose your own mood, rather than seeing what the happiness and distress is of the other person, and then together deciding what to do, he said, this is not called sangha. This is not called association. When we were making the, we were in the middle of making Srila Gurudev's Morning Walks book of 2008, and practically every one of the editors had the same problem when they were editing. Gurudev is chastising devotees, which is fine for him, but like there were five of us who were editors. Everyone except for Brajanath Prabhu, who got it. He got it right. We all got it wrong.
Yeah.
So we were all afraid, for several sentimental reasons, that if Gurudev is chastising a devotee and then that goes in a book, everybody's going to know, and they might say, yeah, look at them. They displeased Gurudev. Even if the person already got better and changed because of Gurudev's chastisement. So we were thinking that we should take out those parts. So we had a meeting with Gurudev in, Delhi, I think. And Gurudev said, what I have told, I have told. No need for adjustments. Then I did my but, and he said, and so then he said, what I have told is for their benefit and for everybody else's benefit. Therefore, it should be known. I said, but Gurudev, what about no names? Maybe we should just leave out the names. What I have told, I have told. No need for adjustment. And I said, but, finally he just walked off. And then hearing the tape again and again, I finally got it. So, then I said, I was worried about the person may be embarrassed. And then I said, so somebody may say, okay, then I can criticize them too, because I'm just repeating the words of my Gurudev after all. So he said, I can criticize because I have the power to criticize. Power to criticize means that I can change them, because I have the love that can change them. But you can't help them, so don't criticize. And then, so I said, so I should put this in the forward then, right? You know, the forward to the book? And he said, yes, put that. That I can do it, but they can't do it. So then, this is on my mind, because we were just doing this in the last few days, looking for the quotes where Gurudev said that, so we put that in the forward, that when the guru chastises a disciple, this should be taken as a blessing and as a medicine. Because the guru is so pure and made of love that he is simply thinking, I want this person to become so lucky that he will realize all these truths. For that, I'm giving him the medicine. Just like Narada Muni, so-called cursed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. And what was the result of the curse? They became Madhu Snigdha and
Snigdhakanta
and Madhukanta, two singers in the cowherd assembly and gopi assembly of Goloka Vrindavan. So then we quote the other quotes of his, that nobody else who can't transform someone into a pure devotee is allowed to criticize. He said, if somebody is very wretched and say, I offer my pranams, I'm going. But to never criticize, because I create a bridge to the qualities that I'm criticizing. If I'm thinking about Gurudev and all the things he was saying about separation of the gopis, then I create a bridge to that, but if by consciousness. But if I'm thinking of bad qualities, whether or not the person has bad qualities is totally immaterial. If I'm thinking about those bad qualities, I get them by the bridge. I love telling the story of Charachandrika. Not that she did anything wrong, but she was in a drama, and I love telling about this drama. Back, I don't even know if you remember, back in 2000 or something, in Kent, England, she was in the drama of the Brahmin who left his home to do bhajan. And his wife was crying, kids, I don't care, I'm going to do bhajan. So he was sitting there in the forest, and as fate would have it, there was a brothel right near where he was. So he would have to see the prostitute and her friends going back and forth. So she was such a good actress, she was chanting in the forest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And you can imagine what was going on in her mind. And meanwhile, the prostitute was passing the Brahmin chanting, and she was thinking, this Brahmin has such good qualities, he left everything, he's so pure, and I'm such a wretch, I wish that I had qualities like that. And she was thinking of the qualities. So then, you know, everybody gets old. So they both got old. Then finally death was coming to them. And the Yamadutas came for the Brahmin. And he said, you have the wrong address. You should go to the prostitute. He said, no, we came to the right place because you were so absorbed. You never thought anything good. You were so absorbed in the fault of all those people that you created a bridge and now they're all on you. So we're taking you to hell. And the Vishnudutas went to the prostitute and took her to Vaikuntha because she was so absorbed in the good qualities, so they came into her. So then, that's not the end of the story, but after the play, you know how Gurudev says things? You know what Gurudev said? This is not a story. This really happened. Remember that, Cheryl? So, he said, be careful. So, now, we're coming to the next part of the program, which is the Diksha initiation. Mostly when devotees get Diksha initiation, they're in complete shock, and they hear about 3% of what Gurudev says. They're overwhelmed. So I'll try to explain a few things in such a way that it won't be a rasa-basa with the devotees who haven't gotten second initiation. So firstly, Gurudev explained that there are 5 stages in chanting the mantra. This applies to Maha Mantra also, so those who haven't gotten second initiation can also apply it. The first stage of the mantra is called Mantra Art Chintan, which means meditating, chintan, on the art, meaning of the mantra. Mantra Art Chintan, meditating on the meaning of the mantra. And each mantra has a different meaning, which is unlimited. Just like you all know computer, I'm sure. And in the computer, you have your folders. And in your folder, you have your documents. So when we say our Gayatri mantra or our Harinam Maha mantra, then we open up the folder of the mantra and all the documents of whatever we've heard and whatever we read, we open them up and do it, read it in our mind, and then pray for that. So the meanings of the mantra will keep coming as we're hearing in class and reading in books. Then, who is the Ishtadev or Devi, the worshipable god or goddess of the mantra? For Guru Gayatri and Guru Mantra, it's obviously Guru. Then for Gaura, it's Gaura. And for Gopal, or Krishna Mantra, it's Krishna, Gopal. And for Kam Gayatri, it's Radharani or Radha and Krishna. And what, it's the three parts of Mantra on Chintan. And what is my relationship with that Ishtadev or Devi, which I'm very eager to find out. And I keep collecting more and more information. Then the second stage is called Nyas. What are the rules and regulations of chanting the mantra? So as Gurudev said about the Maha Mantra, there's no rules and regulations as far as time, place, and circumstance. Although there are rules and regulations of avoiding the 10 offenses, and the ultimate rule and regulation is to be absorbed in the prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. I once told Srila Gurudev back in the early 90s, you know, Gurudev, I seem to spend half of my day in judging others and the second half of my day in worrying that others are judging me. How's that for a day? So Gurudev said, you shouldn't have time for any of this because you should be so absorbed in the songs of the songbook, the prayers, that which is the prayers for deliverance of those mentalities and deliverance to the proper mentality, that is meditating on all the songs in the songbook, which are all from Manjari Bhav, no matter what song it is. Srila Narottam Das Thakur's prayers, all the prayers of Sharanagati, Vilapakus Manjali, Stavavali, Stavamala, and remembering the pastimes, as Gurudev is telling. So that's the ultimate rule and regulation. Then for Gayatri Mantra, we know that we have to face east, be clean, and then sit facing east in the morning, east in the noon, east or north in the evening, or the deities, all directions are in the deities, or face the deities. And if somehow or other, like I had a very big program the previous night, like the Kirtaniyas might have gone to a gig, and they come back at 3 in the morning after chanting for 5 hours in a row, and they wake up at 9 o'clock. Oh my God, I haven't said my Gayatri Mantra. What to do? For 40 years, 40 years, I was thinking that you wait till the next time, the next authorized time, which in that case would be noon, and then say it twice. But then, I think Lola, Lola and I asked Gurudev, remember, at the Vancouver airport, is that true? So Gurudev said, no. The moment that you remember that you forgot it, at that moment do it. And then Madhumar said, immediate. So that's a nyas, or a rule. And then, if somehow or other I'm lying in bed and it's 10 o'clock at night, and oh God, I forgot. I was so busy preaching, or I was so busy whatever, that I forgot to say my Gayatri. Sit up and go for it. Okay. So then the third stage in chanting the mantra is called prapati. Prapati means surrender. So that's general acceptance that there's nothing outside the mantra. What do you mean there's nothing outside the mantra? The mantra is what's hardly fitting on my tongue. It's so tiny. Whereas all these people are here. and the light bulbs are here, and the forest is here. But Prabhupada is the acceptance that there's nothing outside the mantra. How's that? Because the Ishtadev, the mantra is not just a prayer. It is a prayer. It's a vow, and it's a prayer. When we say swaha or namaha, that doesn't just mean I'm offering my obeisances.
It means, thank you.
It means you're clapping because I really needed the mercy. So, where are we? Yeah, what about it? Pranama, thanks. It doesn't only mean offering obeisances. It means I'm offering myself. And we say it a lot of times. We say it 10 times, each mantra, and several of the mantras have the word, that word in it. So, why do we say it a lot of times? Gurudev explained that at a marriage, at least in a Vedic marriage, when the bride and groom promise, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to nourish you, for the rest of our life, that just saying it one time lasts for the life, until sannyas or vanaprastha or whatever. So what to speak of if we say it so many times, that, and it makes impressions, like if you have a rock, and then you're making, take a rope, and you're going back and forth with the rope, it doesn't make an impression, but finally, it'll make an impression. So I keep saying it. I just have to tell you what I was just thinking about. My mind wandered to something that happened yesterday in Madhavi Didi's communication class, and I just want to, I meant to say it before when I was talking about friends and enemies. She did this really great exercise. There was about 30 of us there. And, you know, we were all sitting there, just sitting there as just devotees, friends, whatever. And she puts this long rope across the yard, across the lawn. And she says, okay, pick a side of a rope that you're going to be on. And I'm going to tell each side what their object is in this game. And then I'm going to secretly tell it to you, and then she secretly told it to the people on the other side of the rope. Okay, now start. And I'm not giving you any other information. I'm not telling you whether or not you can walk over the rope to the other side. The object was to get the other person on the other side to come on your side. I'm not going to tell you if you can pull them or coerce them or sweet talk them or jump to the other side or whatever. I'm just saying your object is to get them to your side of the rope. And after the whole thing was over, everybody was trying, she said, just see what happened. In 2 seconds after I put the rope, you're already thinking sides. This is my side, we have to win over the other side. Can you imagine how the psychology of the conditioned soul goes? Okay, so that was that. So back to property. So actually, because it's not just a prayer, but it's actually the Ishtadev or Devi themselves are that mantra. Just like the Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna and Radha and all their pastimes, and the Nikunjas are there, and Govardhan is there, Yavid is there, everything is there in the Hare Krishna mantra. Similarly, in the Gayatri mantras, everybody in that mantra is there. And everybody is there in each mantra. I'll tell you what I mean, because that doesn't seem to make sense. So suppose you're in a movie. I know none of you ever watch movies, but suppose you can remember, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, some of us 40 years ago. When you see a movie, sometimes there's a panoramic view, because the camera's way out. And sometimes the camera goes in to a small group, and sometimes the camera zooms into somebody's face so you can see their expressions. So it's all the same people in all the mantras. But sometimes I'm panoramic, sometimes I'm zooming in to the Ishtadev or Devi of that mantra. And according to the times of day, I can't think of those particular remembrances of that Ishtadev or Devi. Or if I can't, but it's good to if I can, because it's the time of day. If I'm saying anything that's confusing, you can feel free to interrupt. So, because all the universes, innumerable universes, are present in that mantra, including my day, my city, my room, there's no need to worry about anything or plan or regret or hope outside the mantra, because everything is already included. I think many of you have seen that movie. Well, I was quoting Prabhupada back in 1972 in the first Hare Krishna movie, quoting Srila Prabhupada, who said that if your $100 problem is solved, then your $10 problems are automatically solved. If I offer you $100 and you say, no thanks, I'd rather work for $10 at a time, that's not so intelligent, because you get your $10. So he's saying prabhuti means everything is in the mantra. No need to worry or wonder about anything else. The solutions to all the problems, wait, I have to think of a problem that I have to solve. The solutions to all the problems are in the mantra. And that reminds me of something else that I heard Gurudev say in Badger a couple of years ago, that if you think of problems, then you're creating a bridge to the world of problems. And if you think about Krishna, then Krishna himself will take your problems and put it on his own head and shoulders to solve and to carry. So that's prabhuti. Then, I'll try to go a little faster because we're approaching our time. The fourth stage in chanting the mantra is called Sharanagati. And the fourth stage has six parts, which are the six limbs of Sharanagati. We generally hear about Sharanagati in general terms for our life, but these six limbs of Sharanagati are in relation to chanting the mantra. So the first two limbs are accepting everything favorable for chanting the mantra. That is, if I'm going to get angry at you, and then I'm going to sit down and chant my mantra, it's not going to be very favorable. It's not going to be very favorable. I was at an initiation in Guyana a couple of weeks ago, and I was the facilitator of the webcam for Gurudev. So I was also there for the for the second initiation. And the second initiated, who already had second initiation, they were allowed to stay and watch and, you know, wait for Gurudev. So, but it was only one second initiated person, that was a man, on that day. So Gurudev said, all ladies go far away, because it dries up the heart of a lady if she chants the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. And I was there once when one lady asked, well, why can't we get it? And he said, why do you want to go back there? After lacto birth, that mantra becomes the Kamkayatri mantra, which you already have. Another point for ladies, might as well just mention it here. Ladies don't get the sannyas mantra because they don't take sannyas. And the sannyas mantra is a gopi mantra for gopi bhav, which is another evidence of Prabhupada's relationship with Srimati Radhika. So I said to Gurudev, so what are the ladies going to do if they can't get that gopi mantra? He said, I've already given you so many gopi mantras. All the prayers that we have are all for that. So accepting everything favorable and rejecting everything unfavorable, no matter what it is or who it is, to help me chant my mantra. Then to always think myself meek and humble, offering all honor to others, and not desiring anything for myself. Being just like a tree who gives its fruits and flowers shade, even if somebody's coming to cut it down. Even if woodcutter comes. lumberjack comes, he still gives that person the shade. You all know the story of the king, which I tell in every city at every festival, right? Who does not know the story of the king under the mango tree? Would anybody like to tell us who does know it? Okay. So there was a king, and he was sitting under a mango tree with his ministers. And some boys came along, and boys will be boys, so they started throwing rocks at the mango tree to get the mangoes to fall down so that they could eat the mangoes. So, as fate would have it, one of the rocks hit the eye of the king, accidentally, and he started gushing blood. Naturally, he was blind in that one eye. So, his minister said, "King, order us to kill those boys immediately, or at least torture them. Minimum, torture them." So the king said, "Why? Here I am. I keep telling the story so I'll get it. Why? Here I am, sitting under this mango tree. The boys are throwing rocks at the mango tree, and the mangoes are giving in return sweet mangoes. So am I less than this tree? To roar Eva, Tehishnana. That means more, not as much, but more. I'm more than a tree. So, give these boys a portion of my kingdom." How's that for a heart wrencher? We think, that's so high, imagine how high Gopi Bob is. So thinking myself meek and humble, so that Krishna will have to take care of me while I'm chanting my mantras. And then, what was the other one? What's the other of the six? Oh yes, Krishna is my only maintainer and my only protector. So I don't have to get angry at anybody who's not protecting me or demanding. Because Krishna is my only maintainer. Everybody else is a follower soldier, aren't they? The last of the six is to fully surrender, as in that song, Atmani Vedana, that we sang in the beginning. Now that my whole being is meant for your service, I see joy in all directions. And I've forgotten my past history. And I only know that you are mine and I am yours, O Gurudev. Or Yastadeva, the mantra. And without that feeling for Gurudev, it's not possible to have it for anybody in the mantra. So then, that was six of the four, right? It was the fourth stage and the six limbs of that fourth stage of Janya mantra. Then, the fifth stage of chanting the mantra is the most deep, naturally, which is that I enter into, because I've done the other four pretty good. So now the fifth stage is I enter into the mantra, and the mantra enters into me. This is called tadatmya, or tadatmik. Just as, and if you put an iron rod into the fire, and it has all the qualities of iron, and you keep that iron rod in the fire, gradually it gets red hot, hotter, hotter, and then, in Prabhupada's words, he said, then it gets all the qualities of the fire, and then Prabhupada said, if you don't believe it, then I say, touch it. So the fire, because the iron rod has entered into the fire, the fire has also entered into the iron rod and has given its qualities. This actually comes at Bhava Bhakti. When, what is that called? That comes down from the Ragamika Bhakti's heart into the heart of the disciple. Vishuddha Sattva, or Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. This enters into, that is, Radha and Krishna and all their pastimes with the predominance of Srimati Radhika, all comes into the heart. And there's a merge. You'll see, I recommend everybody to get this Venu Geet if there are any, or share it with all your friends if you have it and read it. is the last verse of Venu Geet, is that by the gopis chanting of their songs of separation, they became so much immersed in their first 19 verses, that the 20th verse says that they entered into where they were singing about. And that's why in the Venu Geet painting, you see the gopis are not in their homes. They're singing in their homes. And they're in transcendental envy that the flute is more fortunate than us, the rivers are more fortunate, Govardhan is so much more fortunate, we want to become a piece of rock on Govardhan in our next life, or we want to become a bamboo rod so we can become a flute on the lips of Krishna in our next life. We want to become a deer, because at least the deer's husband don't stop them, but the deer's husband follows them, and our husband takes the stick, and our husband, and yeah. So, by immersing themselves in the bhajan, they actually entered into where they were singing about, and there they are in the kunja, and Radharani is sharing secret side long glances with Krishna. So that's our goal of chanting the Gayatri Mantras. Shrilokanath Prabhu?
Was that Venu Geet or Gopi
Geet? The last verse of Venu Geet.
Is this latest?
It's the goal of our chanting Gopi Geet too.
Uh-huh. Is it a revised edition or reprinted?
It's in all the editions, that meaning. Yes? What's your name? Oh, you are Krishna Balabha. Loud? She's asking, the gopis are blocked by their husbands, do the mandiris also have a block? They don't have any block, because they're always engaged in Radharani's service. So they're also married, otherwise there would be no question of them being in Parakiya Raj, because it means you have to have a husband, and you have to leave him. So they leave for the service of Radhika. They don't need their own individual blocks because their only business is to stop Radharani's block. And sometimes to create blocks for Krishna. Mm-hmm.
How is Brahma Gayatri favorable to Madhava?
Sorry?
How is Brahma Gayatri?
I could explain it, but I'm not going to because you could ask any man. After Gurudev said, ladies, stay far away. But it's ultimately, just to make a long story short, it's ultimately a glorification of Radharani. And also, I can say this because she's the power, she's the Tejas. She's the power of Krishna. And whereas the sun just lights up the universe, sometimes, and sometimes it gets too hot, and you get sunstrokes, but Radharani illuminates all of existence and illuminates the heart. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the discussion with Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are actually that Savitur. You are actually that sun because you illuminate the heart. So it's also him and it's also Radharani. Yes, Lola?
Why is the Dhamma Gayatri dry after?
I don't know. I don't know.
It
gets Purush Bhav, thank you. That's
it makes your heart hard.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It makes your heart hard like nails. Women lose their
Hard like nails.
Soft devotional nature.
And, I forgot what I was going to say. Purush Bhav. Yeah. Well, I asked Gurudev when I first met him, the first year or so that I met him, I said, you know, I'm saying, I didn't realize that the Brahma Gayatri is just the first one, or when we say Gayatri and then there's the Gopal mantra. So I said, when I chant my Gayatri mantra, I feel so dry. And he took it as the Brahma Gayatri. He said, you will feel dry. And then from that time I stopped. their hearts will get soft, I think.
Two negatives make
a positive. So I wanted to move on to yesterday. I want to very quickly discuss the mantras and the offering mantras as well. Well, you just said who it is. Guru is the Deva of Guru Gayatri.
No, Devi.
Sorry?
Swarup.
I'm sorry?
Swarup.
He's asking if you meditate on the Swarup.
Oh, do we meditate on the Swarup of the Guru? Well, according to the mantra, that's what we're meditating on. Right? According to what the mantra is, that's what we're meditating on. First we remember him in this form, as we know him. And then Gurudev said, don't do any kalpana, but whatever we know, whatever we've heard, we meditate when we meditate on his mantra. And the Guru mantra is the first word is the beach, which contains everything. And then I'm offering myself in the Guru mantra, and then when I'm chanting Guru Gayatri, I'm praying that he will reveal everything to me. And I can say this in public because Gurudev has said it in lectures also. The word prachodayat, that discussion that he had with the ISKCON GBCs are all over the internet. So it's all on purebhakti.tv, so I don't mind saying that the meaning of the word prachodayat comes from prakista rupena udayat. Which prakista means reveal. Pra means all. Like we say, bhakti pragyan, Keshav Goswami Maharaj, means that all pragyan, all kinds of knowledge. He's the embodiment of all kinds of knowledge. Maya tattva, jiva tattva, guru tattva, bhagavat tattva, prem tattva. He's the embodiment of all. So prakista rupena udayat means everything about you. Please reveal to me. Please come in my heart so that I can serve you.
You think Chodayat means to reveal?
Please reveal yourself to me.
Prakista Rupena
Udayat. Want to correct me? You have the chance to
tell me. As far as I am, Chodayat means to inspire. But there may be a...
Inspire is the same thing. No contradiction. Inspire this, reveal this, show this,
make it realized.
Make it realized.
Illuminate it.
What?
First,
in the form that we know him, and we can meditate on him in that form. And if he has another form in Chaitanya Lila, we'll be sending out this on the Hari Katha in just a couple of days. If he has another form in Gauranga Lila, then he will reveal that when he feels it's necessary to. In other words, when he feels that this person's making me his heart and I'm making him my heart. The Kam Gayatri, for those of you who received second initiation, for anybody, because it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find an elaborate explanation of Kam Gayatri Mantra in Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Ramananda Rai Sambhad, something around verse 139, 140. Prabhupada gives like a 3-page explanation of the Kam Gayatri Mantra. I can also tell you something of the Gopal Mantra because it's in a book. It's in, I think, Nectar of Govinda Lila or Going Beyond Vaikuntha, I forget which. And it's also going to be on the internet. Which is that?
Going on by Kunta.
The Gopijana Balabha is especially for those in Madhurya, and those who are and Krishna and Govinda are especially for those in Sakyaras or Vatsalyaras. when somebody is in Sakirat or Vatsalirat, Gopi Janabalaba is an adjective to the noun. Like, my friend is Krishna, like in, you saw in the Kaliya play, drama, jumping around with Krishna, jumping on the shoulders, my friend is Krishna. Krishna, you know, the one who is the lover of the gopis, the adjective of the noun. And for those who are in Madhurya Ras, Krishna and Govinda are the adjectives of the noun, Gopi Janabalava. You know, the son of Mother Yasoda. But it can also be, all three of them can also be for Madhurya Ras as well. Because who is Govinda ultimately? And who is Krishna ultimately? And also he explained that Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath are all the same person. The three deities of Vrindavan. Who establishes my relationship with Krishna, who engages me in the dealings of that relationship, and who gives me the ultimate goal of life, which is to become a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. Now I'd like to discuss for a few minutes, is that any clear? Fine. And you all got the meditations about the trickling Jamuna.
No.
I mean the waving Jamuna and the throne and everything. At least that much, I think, stays with everybody. Mm-hmm. And the chamron. Okay. So the offering mantras are for... when we were in South Africa, we were at the airport. Gurudev was leaving. And I asked him, so now, Gurudev, you've given a lot of people second initiation and a lot of people first initiation. So when you get the second initiation, when you give the second initiation, they get the offering mantras in Sanskrit. So how do the people who don't have second initiation, how do they make an offering? Because we already know, as Gurudev said so many times, that when Srila Prabhupada gave the offering mantras back in 1966, when we were all like 3 weeks out of being drug addicts, LSD mongers, LSD sellers, meat eaters and all that, he gave us obeisances mantras as the offering mantras because we weren't really initiated. But then when he established temple worship and the deity worship mantras, then he gave the real offering mantras, but somehow or other it never seeped into the mass of devotees. But I was looking on folio and Prabhupada does refer that that's how the offering should be done. So Gurudev said, when you do the offering mantras instead of the, I'm sorry, when you do the obeisances mantras in place of the offering mantras, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Namo Mahabhadanyaya, and so on, it doesn't offer the foodstuff, it offers obeisances. And every activity has to have a corresponding mantra. Like if I'm watering Tulsi, I'm not chanting Samsara Javana Lita Loka. It has to match so that the mantra carries the activity to its fruition. I chant Om Govinda Balabhim Devim Bhakti Chaitanya Kadanim Snapayami, bathing, water. And then I'm asking, the mantra says what I'm doing and what I want, what you have that I want and what I want from you is what the mantra basically is. So, those who don't have the Sanskrit mantras, they can say the English version of the Sanskrit mantras. You'll find the English version, a lot of the translation, in the new Archana Deepika book, which is a must as books go. That is, I can't make any offering. I can't do anything without Guru. Even if I'm singing the bhajans, why do we sing the Guru Vandana first? Because I have to worship him, and then he asks the other people, the Vaishnavas, the associates of Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, he asked them to help this poor wretched, my dear darling son or daughter. And he comes with us. We want him to come with us to approach them. And by his mercy, we can get their mercy. So similarly for offering, we're thinking that I can't make an offering, but because anyway, one has to be chanting 64 minimum Nama Bhash rounds, and then particularly it should be Shudanam rounds for making the offering. Otherwise Krishna won't accept it. But my Gurudev is doing that, and he's already in Goloka Vrindavan. Then I can also think, I asked him once, when I make the offering, can I just meditate on how the offering is going on in Goloka Vrindavan? That is, Radharani comes with her sakhi. In other words, can I do the whole thing in my mind? That Radharani is coming with her sakhis to cook for Krishna in the morning, and then Mother Yasoda, she bows down to Mother Yasoda, and Mother Yasoda embraces her and smells her head and says, I can't see any difference between you and Krishna. I love you, in fact, more than Krishna. See how Tattva is within Leela? I can't see you as any different from my son. And in fact, I love you more. So then she takes her into the kitchen. Look, we've all cut up these vegetables for you. And then the Manjaris are helping with the cooking and putting the, giving her more wood and giving her spices and bananas and sugar for making different sweets. And they're reminding her, do you remember when you were feeling so much separation from Krishna? And you were so hot from that separation that even when we tried to cool you off by putting camphor powder on your body and lying you down on cooling lotus petals, those lotus petals and cooling camphor turned into hot dust in a second. And here we see that you're in the middle of thousands of flames and stoves and you're feeling so cool, we don't even have to fan you. So should I remember that, and then how Radharani is hiding behind the in the kitchen, seeing how Krishna and his father is there and all the coward boys, and Krishna steals glances, and then how after Krishna takes prasadam, he gives the prasadam to Danissa, who may give it to Radharani and the Sakis, and then the Manjaris are serving them, and then the Manjaris take prasadam, and this is described in Vajrabhaka Tabatsala Sri Gaura Hari in your songbook, and then how Mother Yasoda mixes Radharani's and the Gopis' prasadam with Krishna's prasadam, and then Radharani says all these beautiful expressions which Gurudev explains in his Valakus Manjali class as the in-depth explanation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Radharani's mood of taking prasadam, that when I'm taking this prasadam, I give up all fear, because, you know, the gopis have, well, what about society, what about I'm supposed to be chaste, what about this or that, what about all the relatives are here. But when I take prasadam, I give up all fear, all sense of fear of what people will think, what I'm supposed to be doing, and I immediately run to Krishna. And all, it defeats all meeting and takes away all separation, and I get the highest meeting just by taking prasadam. So that says a lot what prasadam is. It includes all the pastimes, and it's non-different from the nectar of the lips of Krishna. And the nectar of Krishna's lips, which goes into the hold of the flute, are coming from his heart, which is churned by the love of the gopis. And then that's what comes out as the nectar of his lips. And then the prasadam, when he's taking the prasadam, that all gets mixed up with that. So I said, so can I just meditate on that when I'm making the offering? He said, as long as you're going to eat it, you have to have a plate to offer it. Until you get to that level, then you need to do all the mantras properly. But the meditation can be there, no problem. But the mantras have to be there, and the plate has to be there. and all the rules and regulations of cleaning the place and putting the 3 drops of water and offering the tulsi. So I'm meditating that I can't make that offering because I'm not there. Gurudev's there when Radharani's cooking. And sometimes in the evening, Radharani sends out just the manjaris, and my Gurudev is there on that party to take her bhoga there to offer and then bring it back to her in the evening. So I welcome him, I wash his feet, wash his mouth. Then I say the mantras, but I know that really he's saying the mantras. There's a lecture that Gurudev gave back in 1990-91 in Germany called Who Can Offer Bhoga, which explains the sincerity of heart. That's what it takes to make the offering. That even an uninitiated person, what to speak of somebody who just got first initiation, can make it by having the proper meditation. Because Krishna sees the sincerity. And then after the prasadam, then my Gurudev is so elevated that he's offering that prasadam. I offer to him the Mahaprasadam after I offer to them and send them, now you can go Pushpanjali, now you can go back to your abode. But I know that, you know, for me it's just words, and I'm praying that Gurudev will make me his heart so that it becomes a reality. And when we sing the songs for that reality, we pray to whoever wrote the song, this is your prayer, not my prayer. Please make it my prayer. Guru Mukha Padma Vaikya Chitete Korya Aika. Please make your prayer my prayer. So then after the prasadam, my Gurudev is taking it around to the Sakis, to Purnamasi, to all the Bhujabasis, to all the Vaishnavas. And then in his sattvic form, he's watching us distribute the prasadam. He's always there. So that has its ups and its downs, doesn't it? The down is, he gave a lecture in, going back to the beginning of this class aparad, so I can't give a real class, I can only give class aparad. So at the beginning of this, when we were talking about separation, so understanding, I asked Gurudev, what should we do, separation or that he's always here? So Gurudev said simultaneously both, that he's always here with me, he knows all my thoughts before I'm going to think them. He said once, why do you go to astrologers? Don't go to astrologers, just come to me. I can simply look at your forehead and tell you 10,000 births past and future. So he said, always remember that I'm there with you and guiding you. And at the same time, that even when he's there physically, he's always billions and billions of light years away in Goloka Vrindavan and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So the simultaneous, now that we're in Sadhan Bhumi, the land of Sadhan, starting, separation, meeting, separation. And then, when I meet, when I'm feeling so much separation, then there's a touch of meeting. And then that touch of meeting gives me more separation. And then so on, forever. So, what was that in reference to in relation to the Mahaprasadam? Well, we did that, and no, you have to do the plate and the mantra. Then there was something else.
The Guru is always with you.
Yeah, he comes out in the sattvic form, and he knowing, right, has its ups and downs. Knowing, he's like if you're talking to somebody and say, I think I would like to write this in a letter to Gurudev. He's actually hearing us say that I'd like to write this in a letter to Gurudev. So it has its ups and downs. How? It has its ups, because he's always there to protect us, guide us, whenever we want him. Prabhupada said the Guru is just like a TV show, as soon as you turn it on, it's there. And the what you might call the downside, if you want to call it the downside, is that he's there even when we don't want him to be there. Just like in 1997, he gave a lecture in France, and he said, just like some disciple is coming to me, and I say, how are you? I'm fine. No problem? No problem. He doesn't tell me that he has a girlfriend. So then, he doesn't know that because he didn't tell it to me, or a few girlfriends, and that he's full of lust with a few girlfriends, he said he doesn't know that by not telling me, he said, if he tells me, I can immediately wipe it out. Wipe out the lust. I have that power. But if he doesn't tell me, if he's trying to hide from me, he said that problem comes in like a needle and out like an elephant, and it will destroy him. Create like an, oh no, not like an elephant, that's the saying. He said out like an atom bomb, which will explode and destroy him if we try to keep ourselves separate from him. So I guess that's the end.
I have one question.
Yes.
So, in that case, if we
help people
in our hearts that word,
that
if we admit in our hearts,
we're
supposed to be like leather. I mean,
how do we do this? In this day and age. So Krishna Priyadevi is asking, how do we do it? Is it sufficient to do it in our heart? Or do we do it externally, or do we do it in a letter? In this day and age where we hardly see him and there's a crowd of 1,000 people around him, we naturally start from the heart. But we're willing to do it in person, and if I have the opportunity, I'll do it in person. Because we asked him that when he was in Willembar, and he said, if you're not willing to do it in person, it means you're not really doing it. If you're, then you don't really believe he's in your heart. So, Vinny's just came in, but the calendar, which is usually $12, is now only $10, and a pack of five, which is usually $40, is now $30, and it's the first time ever that a case of 50 is only $4 each of every $200 piece. And I'm very happy to be very safe when I'm making an offer for our grocery. You can see that. You can get together. You can cheat. You can get together with a bunch of people, and you can chip in and get the cheap prize. They were usually 15. Now they're unbelievable, inconceivable eight. And so 10 or more, 6. And so 20 or more, 4. And the days are what? Starting by sugar day is 25% off. And you can see Rumi gave you about that. And also, the calendars and the, just as the book and CD, the calendars and the art books, posters and those calendars also are, plus a lot of good information about the days. Uh-oh, Linda's here. Did you hear me what I said? It makes the best gift for any occasion. If you could just meditate on all the gifts that you have to get for the next year, bar mitzvahs, anniversary, wedding, birth, death, Christmas, thank you, Hanukkah, thank you, and encouraging people to come more into the Sangha. It makes a very best gift. So, now the class is over, there'll be a short kirtan, and then anybody can come and get your total mercy, but I can't even believe that I'm saying. Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare. Kirtan?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
ceremony, you know.
I'm going to take a 10 for 1.
I'm sure you all know Chris Leahy.
Hare Krishna, one more announcement. The t-shirt day has preserved new brides is having a special sale. Anybody interested about taking a t-shirt home, giving away to friends, please go to the t-shirt table and keep it in your mouth.
Now you gotta go down like that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to split it after profits, half those off and half those off. No problem. Oh, any donation. Whatever you want to give.
With appointments and so forth, I just found on the floor.
Okay, it's 8 plus 8 plus 7.
12.
I just found this on the ground. I just met him in our office. It's very personal. Looks like a lady's diary book. So there's no name. I can't seem to find it, but you know, I kind of glanced through it. There's some personal things, so I tried to skip through it looking for names.
Someone from Southern California.
It appears.
Okay, I don't know. I guess I can tell
him. I thought Lost and Found's a little bit too urban for something like this. But, anyway, I don't mean to burden you with this. You have so much going on, but I'm leaving soon.
You can find that at Roll Call.
I wanted to ask, would it make checkout for the first installment?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any more of these?
You can have all those. I have more in mind.
This 30,000. Recommended it.